Welcome to the Unity Presbyterian Church podcast. This week in worship, Pastor David talks about the power of the tongue and how our words affect people, positively or negatively. Let's listen.
You know those product labels that come with everything? They're usually maybe on the back of your shirt, if it's a shirt, or it's some sort of instruction that tells you how to use the product. Normally, it's very straightforward. It'll say something like, use only as directed. But I've noticed recently that some of these product labels are getting a little bit more creative in how they tell you to use their product. I think that some of these products are really trying to see, are you actually reading this? And so I want to share with you a couple of the more creative product labels that I've come across recently. For instance, so this next one is for dog shampoo, which you'd think is pretty straightforward until it says, remember to eliminate all escape routes well in advance. A tip, once your pet is slippery wet, he or she is suddenly smarter and faster than you are. I've never seen that on a label before, but it makes sense. It really does. I read that going, yep, I have bathed a pet before. Or so you think doing the laundry is pretty straightforward, and yet sometimes you need instructions for that as well. Can be washed by both men and women. Hashtag share the load. I liked that. I'm going to pay attention to that one. That's helpful. Now, this next one's really fun because I'm pretty sure that it wasn't made by the manufacturer. I think someone just taped it up there, and I read it and thought I would tape that up there. This is a hand towel dispenser, and you know, first step is you pull down the towel. Step two is it rips. So step three is you take then the rip part, pull it down, and step four is it rips again. So then step five is you just wash your hands on your shirt. You just clean it like that. I can never get those things to work. That is often the case. Or this last one, this is probably the most straightforward one. Wash this when dirty. It's helpful. Helpful to know, oh, it's dirty. I should go and wash it. Very good. So we have all these product labels, and yet the most common one, the one we all know, is the use only as directed. Now I want you to remember that theme for a second, use only as directed, because we're talking in this book of James about the taming of the tongue. This week three of our 5-week series, where we're going chapter by chapter and looking at the main themes of those chapters. So today's theme is the way to tame your tongue, which James means is the words you say and your speech. How do we control that? James is going to make the case that you are given your tongue, or really you are given your speech for a purpose. And he wants us to use as directed. And so that's why I want you to remember that kind of phrase today, the use only as directed, because James is going to use that same idea, except he's going to apply it to our words and the things that we say. So let's begin by pondering this kind of question. It's our opening question that I just want you to be thinking about as we get into it. It's, what is the purpose that James believes our tongues were made for? If he thinks God created our speech for a purpose, well, what is that purpose? Well, you're going to have to stay tuned because that comes towards the end of chapter 3 we'll get to today, but keep that in your back of your heads as we explore chapter 3 in James. We'll start at the beginning as he introduces this concept of speech. Chapter 3, verse 1 says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. For we who teach will be judged more strictly." One of my favorite Bible verses right there. "Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way." Now that's an interesting statement, isn't it? Where James is making this opening point that if you want to control all parts of your life, it starts with controlling what comes out of your mouth. It starts with controlling your speech and your words. Well, I looked at that statement and I thought, well, why is that? I mean, why does James place such an importance, such a heavy emphasis on the words that you speak? I mean, he's really saying that if you're looking for some sort of inner moral change, then start working on your speech first. Because if you can get that under control, the rest of your life will more easily come under control as well. So I look at that and say, well why? Why is that, James? And he goes on then in the next verse, and he's going to now share three examples about the power of our speech. And every example is going to show you how one little thing can have a big impact. And so he goes to the next verse and says this, verse 3, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by a means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. So James makes three illustrations that are all making the same point. You've got horses, ships, and sparks. A big horse can be led around by a small bit in its mouth. A big boat can be directed by the small rudder that directs it. And a huge forest fire can be started by just the smallest of sparks. And in the same way, the tongue, though tiny, can have a disproportionately large impact on a person's life. And you've probably experienced that before, haven't you? I mean, I want you to think of the last time someone gave you a really genuine compliment. The type of compliment where you said, oh, you've been paying attention, that you really know me, that you've been observing me, and by the words that you chose to speak, it really showed me that you get it, that you understand me. When you receive a compliment like that, well, that has an impact on you, doesn't it? I mean, that can lift your spirits. That can brighten your whole day. It could be a short or small words or sentence, but has a big impact on your life. Or contrast that. When's the last time that someone made a very hurtful statement to you? A snide remark or maybe an unfair criticism? Well, that too can have a big impact on your life. That can have you replaying those words over and over in your mind. It can sour your mood for the whole day. Again, it could be just a few simple words, but it has a big impact on your life. That is what James is saying in the beginning of chapter 3, where our words might seem simple, they might seem small, but we know from experience that they have a big impact on us, and then they have a big impact when we share them with others as well. Now, I have a hunch that James probably saw people's words being used in a pretty destructive way at times. And my hunch is because of this next section. This next section, he shares some pretty harsh metaphors about the power of speech, particularly when speech goes wrong or maybe goes rogue. In fact, I think we could subtitle this section, "When you use your words for evil, this is the result." Here's what James says next, starting in verse 6. He says, "And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison." I told you it was intense. I mean, this section, he is really going after it because I bet he's seen some destructive behavior in terms of how people have used their language and really tore people down. Now, in James' defense, he's not the only one who speaks this way in the Bible. It must have been common during this day to use the term flame or fire in regards to particularly harsh speech. You see this even in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 16, it says this, "Scoundrels create trouble, and their speech is like a scorching fire." So although James and the book of Proverbs use particularly extreme examples, I still wonder how many of us can relate to this sort of language. I mean, how many of us have been victims of particularly harsh speech and would describe it as, yeah, that set my whole world on fire during that time? Words are very powerful. And they could be used in a very powerful way for good or in a very powerful way for bad, to build people up or tear them down. I want you to imagine for a moment that you're the first person who wakes up in your house. Now, that may not be true, but you may love sleeping in, but in this fictional scenario, you are the first person awake in your house, and you go about your normal morning routine. Maybe you start some eggs, you start a pot of coffee, you go let the dog out, you get the newspaper, you're doing all of your normal routines, and then your spouse wakes up. And I want you to imagine the first words out of your mouth going, "Oh, what happened to you? You look horrible. You are obviously not a morning person." Now, how would that make your spouse feel? We all know this, that can really sour your spouse's mood for the rest of the day, and they might be replaying those words going, "Oh, why was that the sort of reaction I got when I woke up?" Or imagine this. Replay that scenario. You're the first person awake in your house. You make the eggs, let the dog out, get the newspaper, start the coffee, and then your spouse walks out, and you pause, and you look them in the eye, and you say, "I can't believe I get to be married to you. I am so looking forward to spending the day together." Now, that may never happen, actually, in your household. But what would it feel like if it did? It's this recognition, this understanding that we have power in our words, power to really lift people up, including our friends and our family, the people in close to us, or the power to tear them down depending on what we choose to say. Our words can be like a scorching fire, like James said, or they can be like a soothing brook, depending on how we use them. Now, we are finally getting to the main section, the main point of James's chapter 3. We've been wondering, well, what is the reason then that God gave us a tongue, the tongue that allows speech to come out of our mouths? And here's where he answers that question. In verse 9, he says this, "Sometimes it," meaning your tongue, "sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water?" Which we'd answer, no. You know, a fresh spring only has fresh water come out of it. That's by design. "Does a fig tree produce olives?" No. Trees produce figs. That's by design. "Does a grapevine produce figs?" No. Grapevines produce grapes. He says, no. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. What he's saying is that our speech was given a specific design. It was given a reason. And that reason, which we'll get on the screen because this is one to remember, is your words are designed to bring blessing into people's lives. I mean, he looks at your mouth and he says, oh, blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth, and that's not how it's designed to be. That's like a fig tree producing olives. You would look at that and say, well, that's not quite right. Something's a little bit wrong with that scenario. Now, James would encourage us. He says, your speech was given to you as a gift to go use, to bring up other people, to encourage them in their lives. Your speech is really important. I mean, your speech can be used to glorify God, to sing songs of praise, to pray to God. Your speech can be used to give wisdom and advice and discernment to those who need it. Your speech can be used to bring someone up who's having a really tough day, who needs just a kind word, some encouragement in their life. That is why we're given this gift of speech to be shared with others. Do you remember that movie, The Blind Side? It came out in 2010, so it came out a while ago now. But the basic idea of that movie was it was a suburban family, who took in a homeless high school student. And the high school student ended up being very good at football. His name was Michael Orr. And he got drafted then in the first round by the Baltimore Ravens. And then I learned this week later played for the Carolina Panthers during their Super Bowl season. So that's kind of fun. But the mom, Leanne Toohey, when reflecting on that story, said that whole circumstance only happened because of two words that she decided to say. See, she remembers back and she said it was a cold November morning, probably like it was this morning when you left the house today. And she and her family were driving down the road, just going about their day. And then they noticed this large kind of high school student walking along the side of the road in shorts and a t-shirt. And at that point, she looked at her husband, and said two words that changed the entire trajectory of all of their lives. She looked at him and said, "Turn around." That's it. Turn around. And he did. He turned the car around. They brought him into the car. They went and bought some warm clothes for him and ended up adopting him into their family. But it's a story like that that reminds us how powerful our words can be. I mean, words like "turn around," or words like "I'm proud of you," words like "I forgive you." I bet you can think of in your life a particular time when you needed to hear something and someone came through with those words just in that right time when you needed that. The Bible actually talks all about the importance of our speech, not just in the book of James. I want to share with you just a couple of other snippets so we get the full biblical witness this morning. Again, in Proverbs, we're told this: death and life are in the power of the tongue, which is true in any situation that depending on what we say, we can bring death or life into that situation. That's true in parenting. That's true in marriage. That's true in your workplace, that by what we say, we bring death or we bring life. Or in Ephesians, Paul says, "Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building others up, so that your words may give grace to those who hear." And how true is that? That when we use our words to be a means of grace in other people's lives, that is a reflection of what God does for us in giving grace to our lives as well. Or this last one, it's one of my favorites. This is Jesus speaking in Luke chapter 6 when he says, "What you say flows from what is in your heart." It's this idea that nobody can see what's happening in your heart. That's between you and God. But the words that you say then become a reflection of what's happening on your heart. They're almost a window into who you are that you share with the world by the words you choose to speak. Now, I've got a challenge for you today. And I'm offering this challenge because I bet you listen to James' teaching today and say, "Well, there's nothing earth-shattering about that." I mean, we all get the general concept. Yes, our words matter, and we want to use them in constructive ways. So it's not so much the understanding this message that's important, but it's actually living it out. That can be really hard, but really meaningful when we're able to do it. And so I've got a challenge for us to help live out this teaching today. We'll get it on the screen, but it's this. In the next 24 hours, that means by this time tomorrow morning, use your words to build up two people. Now, I want one of those people to be a friend or a family member, someone you know really well, so that you can craft your words in such a way that shows that person that you've really been paying attention, that you really know them, and you're intentionally trying to lift them up. But then the other person, I want it to be an acquaintance. Maybe it is your checkout person at Publix, or maybe it is the barista at Starbucks, someone you don't know very well, and yet still how you use your words can brighten their entire day. So pick two people and try to brighten their day through the use of your words this week. Because we're reminded that you were given your tongue for a reason. And James would say, use only as directed.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.